Do it. There you go. Son of a bitch. Welcome, everybody, to episode 403 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself, the Mug. Gentlemen, how are you?
Not bad.
Jesus Christ. One more time. You're pushing your luck,
gonna,
man. I'm telling you.
It's going to be one of those shows.
It is going to be one of those shows where I hang up multiple times on Mug, I can tell.
And I have alcohol this time. So,
yay!
You know,
it's been a while. I haven't had anything to drink in a while.
You know, it's been over well over a year since I've had something to drink. So that's weird.
You have access to all persuasion. That weed, so I mean, you don't need to get drunk.
That's true. I have plenty of weed. So
that's the nice thing about about the weed. It's like you can get as high as you want, and then the next day you're just fucking fine.
Right? Not you can't say the same about alcohol, man. It's a completely different feeling. Eric, how was your week?
You hate the alcohol shits, whatever.
Eric, how was your week, man?
I'm sorry, beer shits.
It was all right. It's finally starting to get cooler, though.
Yeah, same here, man. We've been enjoying a couple of days in the 80s as opposed to 100 degrees. That's always awesome. Breakman.
It rained here. It hasn't done that in let me see, since June. It actually hasn't done that since June. So
that's crazy. God, we've had this constant thread of thunderstorms here. Well, I told you guys a month or so back when thunderstorm, killed my nice television. And
yep.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just like thunderstorms every night and just, ugh.
Makes you wonder, man, like all those surge protectors that cover your shit if it gets, fried and stuff. I wonder, if that shit actually works, if anybody's ever had that.
Oh, they work. They work. It's just this, for whatever reason, I don't know exactly how the charge got in because it's weird. It's like it killed the router and the modem and the television, but it didn't affect any of my game consoles.
Does it... Do
they have some kind of resistance?
I don't know, man. But
some kind of blocker.
Like those.
Well, that was the thing. I thought my first thought was okay, maybe the charge came in through the cable line, the coax cable from outside. But there's no direct connection between the modem or router and the television.
Mm.
So I don't know how the electricity would have gotten there and not gotten.
Aren't
to
those surge protectors protected by insurance? Like if your shit
they
gets
are. They are. I've got to send the thing in to the company.
Oh, I got you.
They'll take a look at it and say this is burned out. And essentially, it's like
insurance.
Which company is it?
This particular type. It's called it's called a Power Squid, but the company's New Point.
Yeah.
Okay.
They might cover all your shit, Mug.
But when my wife contacted them, I mean, they were extremely accommodating. They actually gave her the president of the company's home number, and she spoke to him directly.
What?
Holy crap.
Damn, that's nice. That's really nice, man. Hopefully your shit gets taken care of, man, for sure. We got all kinds of stuff to get to, probably the least of which is the whole Loctigate thing that we were talking a little bit off air. I'm sure Breakman and I'll get into that because it's man, I knew that dude's story was fucking fake from the beginning. But we'll get into it.
Yeah,
it sounded convenient.
It was announced that maybe they were the whole story they still had their cell phones.
Yeah,
and nice watches.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know about. I don't.
Well,
I don't
there's
know
something
about
else.
You, but I'm pretty sure, when somebody robs you, they take your fucking phone.
Yeah. No, there's actually something else that tipped it off earlier than that, Breakman, and I'll get into it when we talk about it later on. But
I had one news story that I forgot to add.
Was it his hair?
Can we just put it in at the end?
Yeah, put it at the end, Eric. Go ahead with the first news story, Eric. We're gonna.
It was his hair that tipped you off, wasn't it?
The first news story is from Gamatsu.
Fucking hair.
And Entergram announces PS Vita visual novel, Id Rebirth Session. No, Id Rebirth Session.
Yeah.
It says, the story sees a murder occur on an unpopulated island. Famitsu offers further information on stories, but the information has yet to leak. What?
Yeah.
I guess they wanted to, but they're not ready to reveal it, I guess.
Well, I guess. Japan, what? November 24th, looks like, Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I guess that's...
I wouldn't be surprised if PQ picks this one up, too.
There you go. All right, let's go with Mug next. Mug, next story, please.
Oh, I went to the third one, because that's usually the way it works. It's like I usually, like, Eric, you, and, again, I usually do the third one. Okay,
switching
so the
shit
next
out,
one.
Man.
Yes, you're messing my, you know, you're throwing off my groove here.
It's all
dude,
that all right? fucking harmonica, man, you know?
Hey, oh, you know, you'll love God. It. Coming one at us time. Live from Gematsu, Yo-Kai Watch 2.
Did you say
two.
Coming at us live?
Coming at us. Coming at you like Cleopatra. Anyway. Yo-Kai Watch 2, Bony Spirits, and Yo-Kai Watch 2, Fleshy Souls. None of that is weirdly sexual in both of those
yeah,
cases.
Exactly.
Bony and fleshy. Like, ooh.
Yeah, in well, the original Japanese release, it was a classic Yo-Kai and New Wave.
See,
and that's what they call actually, them in the anime. So it's like, why didn't
why
they just
use
that?
Classic. Actually, that actually, I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here. But it would be neat if they used, like, musical subgenres for that kind of thing. Like you have, like, you know, Yo-Kai Watch Electro, Yo-Kai Watch Techno, like something like that, where you have, like, you know, New Romantic versus New Wave, that kind of
maybe,
that kind of deal.
Maybe they're saving that for, like, Yo-Kai Watch 4 or something.
Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, they will be launching for 3DS in Europe in spring 2017, and Nintendo announced. The pair of 3DS games was previously confirmed for release in North America on September 30th. There's a full overview. I will touch on the highlights here.
Just a couple, man. There's too much shit.
Yeah, as like there's, you know, 300 more than 350 new industry returning yokai. You'll seek out new towns and new ones. Teaming up with the heroic cat Hovernyan. Travel back in time to save Springdale and witness the origin of the yokai watch. So a team of six yokai to battle troublemaking yokai, solve problems. Touchscreen-based battle, you know, ride trains to new surrounding areas, so it sounds like this one's bigger than the previous installments in the series. Travel back in time to discover the origin and meet classic yokai from 60 years ago. Team up with up to four players in a local multiplayer mode, which is kind of cool. Challenge your friend's team over the internet in addition to local wireless and two-player multiplayer battles. That's a nice addition. You can carry over data from the previous Yo-Kai Watch game to get one of three special ones. Has both the different versions. Collect and detect and connect real-world Yo-Kai Watch Yo-Motion medals. Each available. It's fucking amiibo shit. Fuck that.
Yeah.
In addition to the games, Disney XD has acquired a second season of the animated TV show, and which will premiere this summer.
It's sort of like amiibos, but not really.
All right.
I mean, like here's a little physical thingy that
so they're,
will unlock.
They're just trying to get kids to buy toys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like amiibos.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next story, guys.
But at least it's not locking content out of the game.
Yeah,
that's true.
Breakman, next story.
Coming to us live from Gematsu. The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 2 launches September 6th in North America.
Ooh.
That's in two weeks.
Yes, it's going to be $39.99 for the PlayStation 3 and Vita. Do you want me to read the synopsis or not?
I think we're good there, man.
There isn't a Lionheart edition for this one, because if you want the Lionheart edition, you need Cold Steel 1. Yeah. Which has a compartment in its case for the second game.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next story from Gematsu. Mugen Soul Z for PC launches August 25th.
It's Mugen.
PC version will feature full mouse and keyboard support, gamepad support, Steam achievements, and user interface and other graphical enhancement. Get a fact sheet below. And it goes into the about, some of the features, tactical 3D battles featuring turn-based combat, which I love, dozens of unique skills and game-changing crystals.
Although this game isn't that great.
Explore expansive worlds, defeat dangerous enemies, and expand your party using your unstoppable charm and superior skills. I think you reviewed this, right, Eric?
Yeah, I gave it a 6. It's not a bad game, but there are better games you could spend your money on.
Yeah. Charm your enemies into doing your bidding. Transform monsters into Champaroos to power up your spacefaring G-Castle. Create your own peons. Oh, boy.
I like peons.
Boost their skills and fuse your creations to create the ultimate party. The Mugen Field returns, featuring stacks of challenges and near infinite leveling possibilities. So there you go.
I mean, come on, who doesn't want their own peons?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when I
cook me this, wash those dishes, go clean the toilet, and scrub my feet.
So pretty much how Mexicans are treated in this country. That's, you know.
Wow.
What would you know about how Mexicans are treated in this?
I'm thinking he's meaning that's how he treats them.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we all know Frank is the whitest white boy ever.
Yeah, exactly.
After reading in chat, people are talking about the tick. You know what's weird is that Batman the Brave and the Bold theme song sounds a lot like the Tick's theme song.
That's I never saw that show.
I never saw either of those shows.
Yeah. You never saw The Tick?
The Tick is great, man.
It was one of those shows that came out when I'd pretty much given up on watching television in the 90s. So it just missed me entirely.
Yeah. But they had the series kind of like came out.
I completely didn't know about Crystal Pepsi.
There was a live action series. I think that was like 2000.
Speaking of Crystal Pepsi, isn't that available now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and I need to go find it.
I did a review of it.
I used to love Crystal Pepsi
because I've never tasted it. And of course, my wife is like, "Oh God, Crystal Pepsi!" I'm like, "You know, I don't know. I've never tasted it. The only thing I remember about Crystal Pepsi was the sketch that Saturday Night Live did where it was an advertisement for Crystal Gravy where they were just using KY jelly to just pour onto food. And I was like, that's gross. Fucking disgusting.
Yeah. When I used to drink pop, like back when Crystal Clear Pepsi came out, like I fucking loved it. But
it was good.
Everybody else who tried it was like, ugh.
It's basically a slightly less sweet version of Pepsi, plus it's got a little bit of like Sprite and 7-Up in it, but it's not lemony or limey. It's just kind of sugary.
It's not limey. It's not racist against the English people at all.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like Mountain Dew, but better than Mountain Dew.
I guess. Let's move on to the next story. I'll go ahead and do the next one as well. Also from Gamatsu, Destiny the Collection announced includes Destiny and 4 expansion packs. Was that even a question that was going to happen? Bungie have announced Destiny the Collection, a collection for PS4 and Xbox One, including Destiny and expansions, Expansion 1, The Dark Below, Expansion 2, House of Wolves, The Taken King, and the upcoming Rise of Iron.
I'm sorry, what was that? The House of what?
Oh, shut up.
I didn't hear you. House Please repeat that.
Get out of here. And the upcoming Rise of Iron, all on one disc for $59.99, which I believe is a good deal, because aren't those expansions?
I bet they're lying, and it's just the DLC code for all the shit and the original game.
Yeah, probably. But,
from what I understand, it does include everything that's been released. Like, absolutely.
No, it's probably
everything.
Just The Taken King and then a DLC code for everything else that came out after The Taken King.
If they're giving you every single thing that they've done with the game, and I have never played it, but from everything I'm hearing about it, it's like it started off very like I think that Honest Trailers guy's called it, you know, gaming's hottest, you know, 6 out of 10 or whatever, you know, that was their shtick about it. But it's like it's apparently turned into a really good game over time and with
it's
the revisions
good.
And stuff.
Like I don't have any problem. Like I don't play many first person shooter, but I was actually pretty intrigued by Destiny, but I don't have a PS4, so
we can all take one thing.
360, didn't it?
Frank, you have two kids. You really don't need two. Yeah,
they don't
you
support
could
it
sell too, one.
You know
what? And get yourself an Xbox.
Breakman, I have a 14-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl. Which one would you like to buy?
I didn't say me. That's not
right.
I think I can hook you up with somebody. but
this has gone wrong. I meant like sell them for money. Like you've taken this and turned it all wrong. Like, I made this a wholesome joke.
Frank, maybe you could afford Dragon Quest
I don't think
VII
you can
if you start selling some of your stuff that you don't play back to me.
I don't think you can make a wholesome joke out of selling children. Because the inevitable result of that is, like, selling children to be used for what? Slave labor is probably not the answer.
Dungeon Buster.
Like, I need the dishes done.
Yeah, exactly. Dungeon Buster says Taken King came with the vanilla disc and DLC codes for everything else. Taken King made Destiny fun. It fixed quite a few things. Yeah, I heard there was some stuff that needed to be fixed to begin with. But
yeah,
that
I've sounds like to play a good Destiny deal for a while. But I've just
My general impression of it has been it's one of those rare games that the developers have continued to support and actually improve.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, like my prospects for getting a PS4 are looking up. I have started a collection jar full of change because I get a lot of change for tips at work, and I'm up to like a little over 20 bucks. So that was like in 2 days. So I'll,
so wait, after you blow the guy, he just gives you the change in his pocket?
You son of a bitch. Why don't you do the next story, Breakman? You goddamn son of a bitches. Breakman, next story, you son of a bitch.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Rumor, Final Fantasy 15 delayed to November 29th. Squinix has delayed Final Fantasy 15, which from its previously planned September 30th release date to November 29th. And
I think
we
you skipped
care.
An article.
I think you did too. That's okay. Go ahead. Continue on.
Ocean I must War. Have closed one by accident. And right. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I closed that right. by accident.
Oh, and by the way, as an aside, take a drink every time Frank calls someone a son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
The one was like, I'm gonna take a drink. Hold on.
All right, come on.
The website claims that a source within GameStop management tipped the website.
No, it's official now, so you don't even need to read the entire article.
Yeah, update. One of the sources who told us the game September 30th release date ahead of its announcement has told us the Gamnesia's report is accurate.
Yeah, there you go.
They apparently
that's not really an update
because they wanted to add more content to the game. But they didn't want to worry people who didn't have an internet connection so they couldn't download it. So they're just going to roll it in with the actual game.
Yeah. Okay.
I just hope they can lock the frame rate and not get those weird hitches that I saw in the demo.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I hate that shit. That is incredibly distracting to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Mug, next story, which is the previous story.
Yeah, I got it. Coming to us live from, hey, where's my screen not scrolling? Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Oceanhorn for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One is a Oceanhorn, Monster of Uncharted Seas. Yeah, it's why does that seem like a mishmash of a whole bunch of different titles?
Yeah.
From Corn Fox and Brothers, action RPG inspired by The Legend of Zelda, Final Fantasy, and Seiken Densetsu, featuring music from Final Fantasy's Nobuo Uematsu and Seiken Densetsu's Kenji Ito, will launch for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on September 7th, publisher FDG Entertainment announced.
I have the PC version. I haven't played it yet, though.
I was going to say, it looks a lot like a game that I thought was out on, like, iOS or something.
It was originally an iOS game, and then they ported it to PC.
Okay, because, I mean, it looked really nice, and I was like, huh. And but anyway, the overview. Set sail and embark on an epic journey. Explore the islands of uncharted seas, a world filled with many dangers, puzzles, and secrets. Fight monsters, learn to use magic, and discover ancient treasures, which will help you on your quest. Use all your wits and skill to unravel the mysteries of ancient kingdom Arcadia and sea monster Oceanhorn. It's a carefully crafted love letter to our favorite action adventures, with influences from the Zelda series, Final Fantasy, and Seiken Densetsu. The game combines captivating storytelling, breathtaking 3D visuals, and exciting gameplay into one massive action-adventure experience you will never forget. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, I'm guaranteed the music's going to be good. I mean, there's no question
yeah,
about that.
Well, hopefully.
He's done good work, even it's
got
Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a good pedigree, but that's not a guarantee of quality. But
although I'm thinking more the track's going to be Kenji Ito and not Uematsu.
Mm. All right.
I was not a big fan of like the Seiken Densetsu music.
Yeah,
it just didn't do it. It's just weird, like a kind of not.
Yeah, sure, and Legend of Mana had Shimomori do the soundtrack.
Yeah, it was just lots of weird like staccato rhythms and everything, and just did not do much for me.
Hey, who did the music?
Ito did the first Seiken Densetsu, and then Kikuta did the next two. And then they went to Shimomura, and then whoever they did for the...
Yeah. Hiroki Kikuta also did the music for Sokaigi, which was one of the most amazing soundtracks ever.
Hey, who did the soundtrack for Blue Dragon? Was that Uematsu?
That was Uematsu.
Yeah. Okay. I got my shit.
No.
His guitar riff, plastic boss music with the lead singer from Deep Purple doing the lyrics.
That sounds like something I need to hear because that's
it was so bad. It was good.
It's called Eternity.
That bad.
Type it in.
Yeah. I was looking for that shit, but whatever. All right, let's move on to the next story.
It was one of those things, like, I played the demo, and, like, I had to tell, I had to tell people, like, you need to play this demo just for this song.
Yeah.
Like, you need to hear it. It's so bad.
Eric, so, next story, please.
Next story.
I love the power of love. It's so bad.
It is a Battle Puyo Puyo game.
All right.
It's a super cute puzzle RPG, Puyo Puyo Chronicle, announced. This is from Destructoid. And it says Puyo Puyo is one of those criminally underrated series that Sega can't even treat right in the U.S. because when they put up Puyo Puyo Quest on iOS, they, you know, decided to remove all references to Puyo Puyo and make it look more like Candy Crush Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Kind of like what they did when on the Genesis, it became Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Yeah. Sega sucks.
That's one question I don't understand. I really want to know when and why did they change his name from Dr. Robotnik to the Eggman?
Eggman was always his name. Robotnik was something that was they changed it to Robotnik and for the U.S.
Okay,
it wasn't until the 3D games where they actually started acknowledging it in the U.S.
Mm. Okay, I was just confused because it just happened suddenly. Like one game you're playing, and it's like
kind of like why the original Sonic's instruction manual also says the planet that they're on is called Mobius for whatever fucking reason, even though it's supposed to be Earth.
Mm. Broken MXT in chat says I'm an obsolete mule. Yeah, that's pretty much true, man. So let's move on.
Obsolete mule.gif.
Yeah.
I haven't really finished talking about this.
Okay, actually. Go ahead, Eric.
Anyways, it says announced by Famitsu and launched on December 8th in Japan on the 3DS, plus a standard and anniversary edition. And it's essentially a celebration of the 25th anniversary of the series, featuring RPG sensibility, 3D zones, campaign, and 60 side missions. Mm-hmm. There's also a standard puzzle mode with 17 rule sets and a boss battle mode for up to 4 players. Mm-hmm. I really hope Sega actually localizes this, because we need a real Puyo Puyo game.
Yeah. Let's see. Did we get you back, Break?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, cool.
They actually put Puyo Puyo 2 on the Sega Classics collection, but they didn't actually translate it at all.
Mm. All right. Let's go on to the next story, Mug.
Okay. After Puyo Puyo. Okay. Coming to us live from Destructoid. Axiom Verge has a Wii U release date.
Actually, I think it came out this week. I'm not sure, though.
Well, no, it says it will be released... Let me read the story.
Let him read it.
Axiom Verge will be released on the Wii U eShop September 1st in both North America and Europe. In a post on the Axiom Verge website, the game's creator, Tom Happ, wrote that his game would soon be available on Nintendo's Wii U console. I've been waiting a long time to be able to say this, wrote Happ. For so many reasons, Axiom Verge truly belongs on a Nintendo platform. The Nintendo games of my childhood are what inspired me to make Axiom Verge. Because of some technical issues, however, I wasn't able to launch it on a Nintendo platform straight away. Happ is the sole designer, programmer, and musician who created Axiom Verge as a throwback to games he had played on the NES. The clearest influence can be seen in the techno-organic tile sets and gameplay reminiscent of Metroid, but games like Another World and Blaster Master also contributed to Axiom Verge's look and feel. It was only because of Blitwork's amazing technical skill that we were able to make that happen, and I'm grateful for their work on the Pixel Perfect port. App continued. Even though the game's been out for a little while on other systems, the Wii U is probably the best one. It's the only console version to support leaderboards for the dedicated speedrun mode, and the Wii U gamepad will allow people to have the world map viewable at all times without pausing the game or to play off TV. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's like the approach to Axiom Verge that the DS ports of the DS Castlevania games took, like using the other screen as your map.
Looks cool. I like when they utilize the 3DS like that. Like that's one of the main one of the main things about the DS that I absolutely loved. You could have an extra screen for for maps and, you know, other information and shit like that. So that's cool.
Oh my god, yes, especially in games like Castlevania.
Yeah, for sure.
Where the map is a need. Like, yes. That's one of the things I hate about Symphony of the Night, even though I love that game, is having to pause, like, hey, where was I going again? All right.
It always boggles my mind that they never released, that they never just, you know, took the engine of Dawn of Sorrow and, like, all right, let's take, like, the advances that we've made, just like the user streamlined stuff, like having the use item button or, like, option in the menu and things like that, and let's re-release Symphony of the Night for the game, for the DS.
Oh, my God, that would have been awesome, man.
Like,
why,
yeah, you're right.
It seems like, you know, this is, you have what is widely regarded to be one of the greatest games of all times, and the most popular handheld system ever made. Why not?
Because Konami, you know, started being stupid then.
Yeah.
That's really
about the time when Konami started falling apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of stupid, no, this isn't stupid.
I have a stinker this week that involves Konami.
I know what it is.
My Nintendo news. This coming from My Nintendo News. The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess manga is coming to the West. I guess that's okay. Was it any good? Does anybody know? I don't know. It's been confirmed for a Western release. The first volume of the Japanese-style Zelda-themed comic series scheduled to arrive in North America in March of 2017. According to Viz Media, the company also plans to publish Legend of Zelda Legendary Edition Volume 1, Ocarina of Time Parts 1 and 2 manga in English on November 1st. So Zelda fans have plenty to look forward to. I haven't heard if these are any good or at all, so I can't tell you if this is going to be worth
picking up. I haven't kept up with any gaming-related manga in literally decades.
The only Zelda manga that I liked, well, it's the only one I've read, but was a Link to the Past one.
Yeah. MXT's talking about Rugrats for some reason. Dungeon Buster's talking about Konami. He says it'll become a pocky slot machine before something as awesome as what we were just talking about. That is absolutely, absolutely true, well, Dungeon Buster.
Hit, guys. Yes. Hit the lever.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All right, Bray. Let's go with Mug next.
Right. Jeez.
I know.
Oh, I see. He's changing things up just to keep things
spicy.
Like, keep us on our toes.
Yeah.
Why am I getting a fucking pop up ad?
Pocky slots.
Fucking okay. From coming to us from a site I've never seen before, King Gamer.
I know. I've never seen this one. That's good.
That's where which has horrible layout, and tons of ads. New JRPG is coming westward. A new title from Fruitbat Factory, Lionheart, is being localized for Western audiences and will be released digitally on Steam, featuring over 100 monster types, over 10 playable characters, and original Japanese voice actors. The title is sure to delight longtime fans of the genre, because only they would be willing to put up with all these fucking tropes. publisher Fruitbat Factory announced via Twitter yesterday that they will be localizing JRPG Lionheart for Western audiences.
Yeah, and
an actual release date is yet to be announced. The title focuses on Leon Lionheart, an adventurer with exploring a magic labyrinth who unexpectedly has his fate changed when he crosses paths with a corridor investigator. A trailer can be found below, and it blurbs some of the same stuff I said at the beginning. It will run natively on PC with 1280 by 1024 resolution.
That's pretty much 1080p.
What the hell is a corridor investigator?
I don't know, man.
I can tell you exactly what a corridor investigator is. It's an awkward Japanese term that they didn't bother to localize into something that sounded natural.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to what I'm imagining, some guy who goes and investigates everyone's doors.
Yeah, it's
like, or he has to get in your home to investigate your hallway.
Or certain, or just like weird Japanese idioms, like trying to explain to somebody, like, what I don't know, some weird southern thing, like, I like to throw up rats here. Like, what the fuck does that just mean? Explain that expression to, to a Japanese.
I don't even know what you just said.
I know,
what was that? It's this very southern thing. Which is something that maybe it's like I liked or I was about to. I like to throw it up as I was about to throw up ratchier right here.
Yeah, whatever that
and,
is.
Like, that was so gross that it almost made me throw up, basically like puking. I almost threw up a little bit in my mouth kind of thing.
Dungeon Buster says, what is your name? Leon Lionheart, snicker. I mean, well met.
Talk about redundant names.
Yeah.
All right, let's.
Better yet. It's Leon. It's like, what's your name? Leon. Leonidas Lionheart.
Leonidas. That'd be even better. All right, Breakman. Next story, please. I don't know how we follow that up, man.
Yep, I'm done. We're not dying this. Okay, coming to us live from. I can't see the. What website is this? There's an ad in my way here.
Tomatu?
Dual Shockers?
What are you?
No, you're reading ahead.
Yeah, you're way ahead, man.
What the fuck, man? How am I reading ahead?
Near. Do the Near story, man.
Don't tell me what to do, Frank.
Are you sure your mouse isn't, like, dying on you? Because sometimes I double click.
But coming to us live from Gamatsu, Near.
There you go.
Near Automata?
Yeah, there you go.
Coming to PC via Steam. I don't know what that means.
It's like automata, like an automaton is like a self-controlled entity that's not human.
Yeah.
I know what automaton is, but automata
is the plural of automaton.
Oh, okay. Just said that. This game will launch on the PC via Steam alongside the previous announced PlayStation 4 version in 2017. The game tells the story of Androids 2B, 9S, and A2.
that's caveat for you.
And they're
I've got to go back and look at this. I need to see these names. So I guess you have the Androids 2B and the other one's not 2B.
Right. and they're a 2B, 9S, A2, and not to be, and they're battled to reclaim a machine-driven dystopia overrun by powerful weapons known as machine life forms. What the hell? Or what do you think you are? You're an android, goddammit!
I guarantee you the joke that I just made will be made by every LPer that ever plays this game.
Yeah, pretty much. Dungeon Bus, let's see, who is it? Oh, MXT says he wants Final Fantasy 8-2. And I'd say I'd play that for about 2 minutes, I think.
I would play the hell out of Final Fantasy VIII, too.
Oh, Jesus. I hate that game. I'm not a big fan of VIII. Like, I know
it had its problems, but it's kind of like I know I've told you guys about this. I loved how abusable the systems were.
Yeah.
I had so much fun breaking that game.
Yeah, I've heard that, too. That's what I usually hear from the people who like Final Fantasy VIII. It's because it was so broken. They loved, gaming the system.
Yeah.
All
right.
I mean, like you could absolutely just one of the most basic things you could do was you had this thing where you could do like the zombie strike where you inflict the zombie status on anything where it gets damaged by healing spells, and then you have the heal ability where it's like, oh look, 9,999 damage on anything that you cast it, you know, any like zombie strike thing, and if you get your percentage of zombie strike up, you know, high enough, then it'll work on almost everything in the game. Yeah. So, like, you go through the first 80% of the game where you can kill anything in, you know, it within two with two actions.
Yeah. That sounds like the later part of Final Fantasy Tactics. Once you have like a calculator and if you have a calculator, basically you can just rule the game from there on out.
Yeah. A couple of things in chat. Dungeon Buster can't wait for Nier Automata. I think it looks interesting. I didn't like the previous Nier games.
I never played it. A lot of people seem to. It's like kind of like this cult classic. A lot of people who got into it, they really got into it.
Yeah,
but it didn't sell very well.
This one looks good though. I've seen a little bit of video on this game. It looks all right. Freak 5. Chaos wants us to know that he's infatuated with elephant testicles and that they are inside their bodies. So there you go. Eric, next story, please.
Next story is from Dual Shockers. Fruit Bat Factory begins the secrets and mystery of Enigma to the West. And they said to be localizing Uzumiya's visual novel Enigma. It says it should be to the West, but it says four for whatever reason. But coming to PC via Steam this winter. And it's a mystery visual novel in a world where humans suffer from a disease known as the Enigma. Main protagonist Chester is not only infected with the disease, but also finds himself washed up on an island. And additionally, the game will feature multiple endings and a beautiful original soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to read the description here because it sounds very Japanese trailer quotey.
Yeah, you're kind of breaking in and out anyways, Eric. But another visual novel. But Fruitback Factory, I've never heard of this company, but they're coming out strong with some releases, so that's cool.
They put out a game on PS3 like about a year ago, but it was actually based on the Arrowgate version. But they removed all the Arrow scenes.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu. Get Even launches for PS4, Xbox One, and PC in spring 2017.
And is the sequel to Get Shorty?
Yeah, exactly. I like that movie, all right.
I never thought.
Get Even, the surrealistic and unconventional game from developer The Farm 51, will launch for PS4, Xbox One.
That totally doesn't sound like Suda 51.
Yeah. Publisher Bandai Namco announced, and there's an overview. Excuse me. Holy shit. That was out of nowhere. Jesus Christ.
Damn, dude.
Couldn't get to the mute button, huh?
Holy fuck. No. Apparently I couldn't. Face in the dirt, ears filled with screams, wake up, prisoner. I think my burp was a better description of this game. You need to breathe. Remember. Oh, God. I hate all this shit, man. Creating immersion through an unparalleled dive into 3D acoustics thanks to the support of the cutting-edge RO3D technology from RO Technologies. Get Even challenges you to question your understanding of justice and reality. What is real? Your understanding of the past is what will shape the outcome of your future. Help Black travel to the distressing and torturous depths of his own mind by facing the truth and answering two very simple questions. Why was he here? And who was the girl? And then there's a trailer which I have not viewed yet. So
he was there for the girl. There you go, dude. I solved your first problem.
All right, break. Next story, my friend.
I totally wasn't ready to read a next story. Or any story, period. We have the Steingate one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Gamatsu, they're live in something. Stein's, what's a semicolon?
I think it was...
Gate coming to PC via Steam in September. Gate coming to PC via, that's probably my favorite one. In September, publisher 5PB announced in Japan the release date is September 9th. The visual novel game is currently available in English on PlayStation 3 and PS Vita, as well as a PC via Jast USA, that's J-A-S-T USA. An English iOS release is also due out in September. Jost, that's how it's pronounced.
It's the past tense of Joss Whedon.
Jost Whedon, yeah, I like that. Jost or Whedon. Or his German brother. There you go.
It's like, actually, I think it's what happens to a series after Joss Whedon has gotten involved in it. It's been Jost Whedoned.
Yeah, it's been Jost Whedoned. I actually like Joss Whedon.
So do I. I love Joss Whedon. That's like I'm the big Joss fan here. Like the
Buffy. Like I was a fan before Avengers. Just saying, you know, yeah. Back, like, back here. With Buffy. Yeah. I'll admit though, like I came to Buffy late.
Yeah. But, all right, there. Freak's talking. But,
I was on board when Firefly came out. That's when I jumped on.
Freak is still talking about
5PB is doing this and not Joss. I wonder if that means it uses the script from the PQ version.
Yeah. The only problem with the show was it was on Fridays at 8 o'clock, so only people like me were home to watch it.
Yeah, and people like me were doing this show, so I couldn't watch it. Right. All right, continue on.
Here's an overview. Decide the fate of all mankind. Can you change the course of fate and save the one closest to you? Stein's. Wait. Huh? Where am I at? I forget what.
No, Stein's semicolon was the fart sound.
Yeah. All right. Stein's Gate is the award-winning time travel science. I need to write this shit down. Travel science fiction and interactive visual novel developed by 5PB and Nitro Plus. 5PB, I wonder what that means. It is widely considered to be one of the finest visual novels ever made. Science Gate follows a ragtag band of tech-savvy young students who discover the means of changing the past via mail using a modified microwave. They're making a hot pocket one day and like, oh, holy shit! Their experiments in how far they can go with their discovery begin to spiral out of control as they become entangled in a conspiracy surrounding SERN. The organization behind the Large Hadron Collider.
Man, you can't
I know how it's pronounced. Large
Patrick Slider and John Titor, who claims to be from Dystopia Future.
Stop. This has to, you have to pause here because we now have to discuss the logistics of the Large Hadron Collider.
I hate you guys.
Collider, I love it. Go ahead.
It's like the way that it works is basically they take all the particles and they put them in the colander, and whatever strains through, that's what they examine to find new strains.
That's the only shit that matters, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Where was I? Interaction with the game takes place through the phone trigger system, where the player can receive calls and text messages and decide whether to reply to them or not, changing the outcome of the game's plot. Well, how about I just say reply to none? Game over. Features, non-linear visual novel. Discover multiple different endings depending on the choices in-game. HD, 1080p. Enjoy the game with HD graphics and illustrations. That's not as impressive anymore now that they, you know, we have the Ultra HD TVs. Phone trigger system. Interact via Rintaro's cell phone to answer ignored calls and send and receive emails. Your everyday choices in life steer the game. 30 to 50 hours in reading time. Wow. That's a lot of reading time.
Yeah. All right.
Go.
Sounds cool.
It's not as cool as our colander idea.
Right. I like the colander idea for sure. But, all right, Eric, let's move on to the last story of the day.
Oh, we got one more after that.
Oh, yeah. We definitely. Well, actually, let's have Mug do this one, then Eric, you can do the last one.
All right.
Okay. After the Steins Gate one?
Yes, sir.
That one? Yes. All right. Coming to us live from Gematsu. The Capybara Games has delayed Below, a previously planned for release across Xbox One and PC this summer, to an unannounced release date. In a message, the developer said that while it had worked hard to try to launch the game this summer, it came to the decision that the game was not ready. Instead of giving you a new loose release window, we will be going dark while we take the time that we need to complete Below without compromise, Capybara Games said. The next time you see a major Below update, that means our game has a firm release date, which we will share. They gave a lengthier message, and it sounds like they're trying to avoid some of the problems like that Hello Games has had with No Man's Sky, and so just kind of like, you know, the game's not ready yet. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to disappoint people by putting out a game that's, you know, that's less than we think it should be.
Yeah, I like that idea. I've heard a lot.
I would much rather this upfront transparency. We're delaying it to make the game what it should be, or what you think it should be, or what we've promised it would be.
Yeah. Actually, now that you bring that up, I wanted to ask Dungeon Muster, because I saw a post he made on Twitter about that game, No Man's Sky. And he was complaining about the bugs, and he was thinking about quitting. I want to know if it got that bad. Did he quit?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question for Dungeon. There you go. All right. So anything else on this story, Mug? Or are we good?
No, I think that's pretty much it. It's like it's kind of like the, you know, the game's been delayed and they're going dark. So, you know, expect news when there's news to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine, I guess. As long as they're
Again, it's like I like the transparency.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would much rather a game be delayed so that it's, you know, so that it's polished.
Yep.
And then be, you know, then being having to stick to a deadline.
Yeah,
and
I like that.
When you have shit like that, you have stuff that apparently like No Man's Sky or like Knights of the Old Republic 2.
Yeah,
where a game gets severely compromised because of a dedication to a release date rather than dedication to making the game what it should be.
Yep, absolutely. All right.
Okay. Eric. He responded. He does not quit yet.
Hmm?
He found a workaround for the save bug, because that was the main problem he wanted to quit, because there it was apparently not saving, even though it said it saved.
Yeah.
Oh,
that would freaking piss me off beyond belief.
Yeah,
they shouldn't have to, but there it is. Yeah, no, that sucks. But as long as you're enjoying the game,
Wyland in a further upset says they have a quote fix. I wonder if that's what Dungeon Buster has been doing. But
well, that's he says for the fix for the crashing. Like this is a separate bug. Dungeon Buster's problem was the game would tell him it was saving.
Oh, and then not save.
I mean, everything I've been seeing about No Man's Sky, it's like, oh, okay, it's a survival game. Well, then I'm not going to enjoy it. Yeah. I don't enjoy that kind of gameplay loop.
I like exploration.
Yeah, but I mean, from everything I've seen, just from people whose opinions I respect, it's like
Now, it feels, you know, the more of these planets you go to, the samier they tend to feel.
Yeah. All right, Eric, and let's move on to something a little more cheery, it looks like. Or not.
This cheery. Isn't cheery. What are you talking about?
Well, from the picture, it looks cheery to me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The content of the article is not, though.
Oh, we're discussing the content. Sorry, I thought we were discussing this picture.
Is this if this is the article I think it is, I think that this is one of the most ironic things ever.
All right, let's go, Eric. Yeah.
This is from TechRaptor.net, and I've never heard it before because I had to scramble to look for this. But
well, that's cool. We're getting news stories from maybe people who can write.
Right.
Anyways, if the loading is keeps screwing up on me. I keep screwing up.
You want me to read it, Eric? I can read it.
Yeah.
This is an update. Valkyrie Drive Bikuni refused rating in Germany. Oh, it's not so cheery. This summer has been a big season for Vita games being banned in various countries, whether it was Criminal Girls 2 being refused a rating in Germany, Galgun Double Piece being pulled from store shelves in Australia, or MyQ, Labyrinth of Death, getting refused classification in Australia. Hasn't exactly been the best time to be a German or
MyQ,
Australian.
Not MyQ.
Whatever. Unfortunately, today brings
not
us
whatever.
Even...
whatever. Get it right.
But Meikyu is the Japanese word for maze, hence
Jesus
Labyrinth
Christ.
Of Death.
Unfortunately, today brings us even more news to add to the increasingly large pile of games being refused classifications, as Germany has reportedly refused classifications for P-Cube Games' upcoming Valkyrie Drive Bikuni. We already reported that the title had been refused classification in Australia. So, I mean, this is just a long series of shits that... gamers have to deal with.
Well, the reason that this one strikes me as ironic is like it's apparently being refused classification and therefore banned from being sold in retail stores because of its sexual content. In Germany!
I know, of all
in
places.
In Germany! Like, okay, two words. When I say these two words, what springs to your mind? And don't fucking tell me. German porn.
Right.
It's because they're technically minors, even though... The
aren't
way
they,
Japanese law works in
aren't
Japan
they,
is like
aren't they like
minors, I guess.
Doesn't the German like
or rather the age of consent is lower there.
They have a repressed culture. On, yeah. They've got to release somehow.
This touches on something I wanted to get into. I saw something someone on my Facebook posted an article about someone who makes these dolls. Essentially they're sex dolls that are meant to look prepubescent.
Oh God, that's awful.
Hang on. And like, there was a lot of uproar about it, and kind of my reaction to that, my initial visceral reaction to that
better
is
than fuck a doll than a person.
Exactly, but my initial visceral reaction was like, "Ew, that's gross, that's disgusting." But it's like, no one's being hurt by this.
Yeah,
the thing is,
I agree.
Pedophilia is not. It's not a perversion, it's not so much a perversion as it is, it's more like a sexual orientation.
Yeah.
Like you don't get to pick your preferences in any regard. And it's like this, the same thing when you see actual child porn with actual children in it. These children are being hurt, they're being used, they're being exploited, they're being damaged. If you're drawing it or making cartoons of it, I sure as hell wouldn't want to watch it, but I think that it's perfectly okay for it to be there because it gives these people an outlet for this for this proclivity that doesn't hurt anybody.
I'm in agreement, Mug, but that doesn't mean I can't have an opinion and I think it like is really, really gross. Like
it is really gross. It absolutely is. But the thing is, I would rather them have a safe outlet for these impulses than because I mean, if you look at, say, just for instance, we look at the church. Like officials in the church with the enforced celibacy. Well, what happens when they take out all these frustrations that they
can't... Not only do they enforce it, but they obfuscated the terminology of what celibate is.
Yeah. So that... Well, my point is, though, that they repress it to the point where you put these men, and it is always men, pretty much, who are in charge of these vulnerable kids, and it's like there's so much sexual repression that.
A male can be a priest because apparently having a penis is that important.
Testicles specifically is more important, but I mean that's actual church doctrine. But these kids get hurt as a result. I would much rather like celibacy is not you talk about something abnormal. It's like homosexuality is not natural. Celibacy is not natural.
Right.
And the more fucked up thing is the church apparently has a policy on sexual conduct, and priests can go around fucking people if they want.
It's just that tradition prohibits
it because they wanted priests to be more controlled.
It depends on like what variant of Catholicism. Like, you know, there's Greek Orthodox, there's Roman, you know, there's like the Vatican Roman Orthodox, there's Russian Orthodox, which is its own kind of weird offshoot. And there's some cult Catholicism on a lot of island nations, and like each one, I mean, like it's religion. There are hundreds of thousands of hundreds, but like tens of thousands of denominations.
Yeah, there's way too many to count, and for sure. Yeah. Freak 5 has a request, Mug. He wants you to do a holy dungeon.
I will save it up for a surprise.
All right.
You will get it. You will get it. Freak, you will get your holy dungeon, but I will save it for a moment when you're not expecting it.
And then Freak 5 says he agrees with me. The picture gives him happy thoughts too, which is awesome. He's referring to the picture of the last story. Why is Germany so hard on games? Like, isn't Germany the red light district capital of the world? Like, that's kind of my understanding. Like,
I'm pretty sure
Germany gets hentai titles, and there's a lot of minors in those games, so why don't they ban all those?
Yeah. Gripper's in chat. What's up, Gripper?
Hey, what's up, Grip? And I think that, you know, Germany has a lot of its own weird hang-ups. Like, their thing is, you know, violence is the big thing that that gets censored in Germany. Like,
they're the reason.
Which actually makes more sense.
Well, it's like the I remember one of the more recent things, and it's not even that recent. Like the original Ninja Gaiden on Xbox, and that was 2004. When they brought it out, you know, they got over their whole ninja thing. Like we can't show ninjas.
Word ninja, so we got to change. We got to change the title of Kunoichi to Nightshade for whatever reason in all regions.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like that was
a fantastic game.
But the original title was
Kunoichi. Weird because there's another Nightshade for the Famicom's Nintendo. Yeah.
That's what I was referring to.
That was an awesome game. The PS2 game Nightshade. The original Japanese title was Kunoichi, which is the Japanese word for a female ninja.
Or rather, Kunoichi, because the eye is supposed to be silent.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. That's the end of our news today, thankfully and mercifully. No homie discounts today. Breakman, any Twitter questions?
Let me see here. Let's go to this here. I don't know why I didn't have it up like I should have. I was busy typing in chat.
You didn't have it up.
Damn you. Nightshade.
Breakman
didn't
have it up.
So anyway, we have stuff from Freak 5 Chaos.
Okay.
Which he gave me one an interesting Would You Rather. Would you rather – you ready?
Yeah.
No.
Would you rather play a VR version of one of my Would You Rathers or a fuck, marry, kill I came up with that he came up with?
I'm going to go – I would go with the latter.
Yeah, I'll go with the latter.
I don't think I could stand – I don't think I can handle a VR version of any of his Would You Rathers.
Yeah. I thought about this and my response is actually the same as yours because this – you have given us – every once in a while, Freak, you have given us like legitimate and decent Would You Rathers. So I am going to put my faith in you with the fuck, marry, and kill, basically. And what about you, Eric?
I'm going to go with what Mog said.
Yeah. I think that is the safer option because it's one thing to talk about, basically like this Would You Rather in the abstract.
He does have some like I just said, he does have some like decent not fucking with you Would You Rathers.
Yeah, but those are rare and right. You know, he is an agent of chaos, so let's not forget
likes to stir the pot for sure. Let's not forget that.
And I think that if we went for we'll do the VR ones, like this will be something pleasant and oh my god
Jesus Christ, fucking bananas and relatives and oh god, I'm good.
Like,
no,
basically it's like you sit there looking at it, it's like just this horrified look on the bottom half of your face because that's all the camera can see, but you get this like tilt your head to the side,
yeah,
then back to the other side.
Hey,
with a, and then hang on, then it's like, with a melon?
Oh, God. Like, Gripper's asking me if we're still doing my new feature. Yes, we are. I'm going to do one today after we get done with
I have another there's another Twitter thing. Yeah, he sent me a link, and I was actually thinking about making this like a lull or kind of a – but I didn't make this a lull because I know the guy like was apparently drunk. Well, no, I guess I didn't make it a lull because – he sent me this and ruined my phone.
It takes one to know one, break.
So anyway, this actually happened in Dayton, Ohio, about an hour's drive from me. Man arrested having sex with parked van.
And they say nothing.
That reminds me of the SNL skit, the fuckable car.
I don't know if it mentioned it in the story, but they said he was heavily intoxicated at the time. Oh, a Dayton, Ohio man was arrested Tuesday after he tried to have sex with a parked van, police said. Michael Henson, 35, faces public indecency charges. Police said they believe he was under the influence of narcotics.
There's no aspect of that story that sounds comfortable.
Let me see if it says it in this story. I know they're talking. Witnesses told police that Henson, who was only wearing shorts and socks, pulled down his pants and began having sex. Sex with the front grill of the vehicle.
Ow!
I guess the
that was what I was wondering if that was in the story because he was having sex. Like when I think of somebody like having sex, I think of like where's a hole or something like
the
that.
I guess like, the only question that I have.
That was the only place I could think of. No, he's having sex with the grill.
I guess the only question I have is if the van decided to press charges on this guy.
Yeah.
One witness told police that the act went on for a short time, then Henson passed out. Vehicular rape.
Vehicular rape. Oh, stupid. Oh, man.
Rape joke. I'm going to hell now. Because you're not supposed to do those.
Anything rape else on this?
Rape is never, funny. Rape is never funny, Eric.
Yeah. Especially when it involves a car. It's not funny when the car gets raped.
Rape's like only not funny when it's real rape.
Right,
talking about car.
Yeah, that pretty stuff. Much. Yeah, pretty much. It. It's like the the old George Carlin line. I can prove you that rape is funny. Picture Donald Duck. Imagine Porky Pig raping Elmer Fudd. It's like, hey, why do you think they call him Porky? Yeah.
What else? Anything else on this story break? Or are we good with it?
Wasn't that enough?
Yeah, that's enough. all right, we're gonna do a thief or not to thief real quick. Since it was mentioned earlier in chat. What about are you going to steal Final Fantasy VIII? Let's start with Mug. Thief or not to thief?
What, just like a copy of the game?
Yeah, well, like – okay. Do I have to explain this again, guys?
Well, I don't remember exactly what the rules were.
All right. Here's the scenario. In order to satiate your love of games, you have to steal a game. You don't have enough money and you come across a game. This week's game happens to be Final Fantasy VIII.
Are we assuming I don't already own a copy?
Yes, you don't
okay.
own a
copy. Then yes, I would thief the game.
Really? Okay. What about you, Eric? Thief or not to thief Final Fantasy VIII?
My answer is always going to be not.
Yeah. All right.
Don't bother asking me.
All right.
Well, you klepto, I'm not.
I am not either.
I would totally steal the game because
it's not worth it.
A fantastic soundtrack and lots of fun to play with.
Just buy the damn soundtrack. Like that'd be a better option in my opinion. But
then I don't get to abuse the game system.
But then he doesn't get it for free if he has to pay for it, Frank.
Right.
Like, I
thought that was the whole point of it.
Like, I still have my original physical copy and I bought a PSN version.
He's asked us a couple times like games and I was like, I already own that, Frank. That's not the point.
Not the point.
Buy the PC version and then play the
That's why
files.
I clarified. Well, break. That's why I clarified. Are we assuming I don't already own a copy?
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely passing
and
on.
And you're
Final
currently
Fantasy
broke, and the only thing you can afford is a PlayStation and TV. And
you know, when I think of Final Fantasy VIII, I put it definitely above 2, and that's about it. Like I can't think of another Final Fantasy. Maybe 1, possibly.
I guess the way that I look at it is like I recognize it. Final Fantasy VIII has a lot of problems, but I still have an inordinate fondness for it. I like it better than I liked Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII, I quit that game. I quit it.
It's like I played through Final Fantasy VII in both Japanese and English because it was in an era where I was importing games a lot. But it's just, you know, maybe if Final Fantasy VII were released now, and maybe the remake will kind of revitalize any affection I had for it, but it's hard to appreciate. Well, it's hard to appreciate the original game now just because of how technically limited it is and just some of the weird quirks of the way that the game controls. But, like, the translation was so poor.
This guy sick.
yeah, exactly. And it's like, but this, you know.
The last elixirs Mega elixirs were somehow translated as last elixir for some reason. Yeah.
It's not the worst translation job I've ever seen, but it's like any gravity that the storyline is supposed to have.
It's not as bad as Final Fantasy V's localization. The first the PSN.
Dungeon Buster said
that was apparently based on the Woolsey translation for the planned localized version for the SNES.
Yeah. Really?
Under the Extreme label. They were going to call it Final Fantasy Extreme for whatever reason.
But it's like I think the first time it got like a good localization was on the Game Boy Advance, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Dungeon Buster said he'd steal the game to sell it on eBay. That's probably the only reason I would steal.
Although the definition is weird there, because like there's some weird stupid jokes, like references to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for whatever fucking reason.
That's very working.
Because they're the Ninja Turtles.
I wanted to touch on something. Actually, if Final Fantasy VII...
If you ask me, the best translation would be, like, aspects of the GBA one and the RPG one fan translation.
The best... Like, if Final Fantasy VII got retranslated and whoever was it...
You can download a patch.
Eric, let me finish, dude.
If it got retranslated, like, an official retranslation, and it were done by the people who did Final Fantasy IV for the DS... I would be in on that because Final Fantasy IV DS has one of the finest localizations I have ever seen.
Yeah, it's a good localization for sure, man. I like Final Fantasy IV quite a bit.
I like the voice actor for Kane. I just think his lines in that game were completely overwrought.
Yeah. Well, the thing was it was very much a kind of a. I want to say it's kind of Shakespearean dialogue, and it's like, and I think that the storyline is very melodramatic. It's very like by the numbers wrote fantasy storyline. But that style of writing, that faux Elizabethan dialogue thing, it worked really well for that, and it kind of cemented everything in a way that no previous translation has done.
Yeah. All right, let's move on, guys. Real quickly, what have you been playing? I've been playing MPQ. I just got a new cover for Black Panther, so that's really cool. I'm waiting to get another cover for Daredevil because then shit gets real. I get to be like a real pro at MPQ if I can get that cover.
Did you see the message that I sent you about the Mac version of AM2R?
I did see it. I have not checked that out yet, Mug, but I will delve into that. It was you sent that on Skype, and I'm hardly ever on Skype, but
Freak 5 cast, that's because Final Fantasy Legend games were actually the Saga games, and they can play completely differently. You have to get into the head of Saga before you can actually appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Jesus Christ, what am I doing? Fuck. I clicked on that link and it's just telling me to do all kinds of different shit here, so I don't even know what's going on. I'll check that out later for sure.
If you need it, I think I might have downloaded a copy. If need be, I can send it to you.
Yeah, that might be a better way to do it. It's saying my shit's not updated, but I know my stuff is updated. I don't want a bunch of malware on this fucking computer, so we'll see.
I think I did download it. I will get it to you.
All right, man. Let's go to break, man. What have you been playing, man?
You know, I played my regular stuff this week, but you know, actually, I played some different shit this week. Completely different, new stuff.
Yeah, what'd you play, man?
Really, there's no like shock or nothing. I played new games, and nobody was like, "Really?"
You've changed what you've played from week to week before. It's just not common.
Right.
It's not unheard of. It's just unusual.
Okay. Anyway, so I played three different games. I think all of them were free from free.
Is one of them AM2R?
No. No,
then
these were all
nothing
on,
to say to you.
These were all on Xbox, actually. And I think I'll list them in the order of enjoyment.
Okay.
One game I call is titled Zeroes. Z H E R O E S.
Ground Zeroes?
No, just Zeroes. Like whipped cream. Whipped cream.
Cool. Oh, you mean like Cool Whip?
Cool Whip, yes. And Quip. Zeroes. So,
say it like that. Say what?
So this game is a brawler set in kind of a sci-fi universe with really bland enemies and game and story development and level development. But it's a really fun combo system. However, I got to a level that annoyed the shit out of me. I died several times and said, you know what? Screw this. I'm done with this game. So I don't know if it's better on multiplayer or not because I'll probably never play that game again.
Okay.
Another game I played was Styx, which is this.
Like this? For my life from the long
arm of the law. Spelled the same.
Really?
S-T-X-Y.
Yeah. Continue on. I want to hear more about Styx.
So this is a game set in a,
why,
like a
why
medieval.
Why are you playing this and not Mr. Roboto?
Because this is better.
Are you
still
with Styx,
not.
That goblin thing?
Mr. Roboto sucks, man.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Fuck the worst song I've ever heard. Wrote in on.
Mr. Roboto's awful, man.
Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Oh my god,
Break.
I hate
Wait, this is the game of Break got for free because Games of Gold, he got it back then.
Yeah, that's what I said.
All right, Break. Continue.
So this is an action stealth game, or mostly a stealth game, but you play this goblin going through this medieval fantasy world of humans and elves, and it was kind of fun if you like stealth games and stuff like that, staying to the dark, sneaking up on your enemies and killing them. It seems really gracious with the checkpoints in like that last game that I played.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun game if you like that kind of thing, but I'm not big on stealth games that
so,
much.
So are you more of a renegade in that game, Breakman? Anything? Nothing? Okay. Alright, I'm done.
Thank all right, you.
Mr. Roboto sucks. You suck, Frank. According to Dungeon Buster.
I hate Mr. Roboto. God, I hate
Come on.
That
okay.
song.
Mr. Roboto is like, let's face it. When it comes to Styx, the only songs people know are Come Sail Away and Mr. Roboto.
Renegade, man.
I would say Come Sail Away, yeah.
Fucking Renegade, dude. This song right here. This
and may I just say, the Eric Cartman cover of Come Sail Away is one of the greatest things ever recorded.
Come sail away. Come sail away.
Come sail away with me.
You guys, you know. It's amazing. I have the Chef 8 album on CD. You know, it's
nice.
Yeah. Oh man, I agree. That is pretty good, man. I can't deny that. But really, you guys like Roboto over fucking Renegade? Really? Come on, man.
I actually, all joking and teasing and stuff aside, I actually don't know the song just by name. I may have heard it before, but I don't recognize it by title.
Oh, Jesus Christ, really? All right, maybe a little of this. All right, that's enough.
Okay.
All right, let's and stick.
No, dude, it's just like Eric Cartman. You started it. I have to finish. Because I've got two people. Peter has a knife that's ahead of me. I'm about to get ahead, so come on. Okay, fine. Here we go.
Jesus Christ, I've opened Pandora's box.
Can we move on to what we've been playing, please?
Yes. Anything else, Break?
That game, if you like stealth action games and you're cool with the fantasy setting, which if you're listening to the show, you obviously are, that's a fun game, but I don't know if I'm going to play it anymore just because I'm not really into stealth. I prefer, like, killing everything I see.
Dungeon Buster says I suck because I think Mr. Roboto sucks.
Not that you don't kill him in this, but, like, you'll have to hide the body and stuff like that. That's a lot of work, you know?
Damn it. What,
I prefer to just respond.
I can't believe you guys like Mr. Roboto over a lot of other shit, man. Well, I can't believe it.
To provide you a little bit of context,
yeah,
Mr. Roboto, like I was a massive geek in the 80s, and I heard Mr. Roboto was like, it's about robots, so of course I like it, because I was a little kid when I heard it, and I liked robots. So, like, and I had this, one of those, like, those toy, well, not toy, I mean, it really worked, but it was a kid's turntable, a record player, and I had the 45 of Mr. Roboto was one of the first records, like, the first pieces of music I ever owned.
So I figured it out.
Yeah, I have a great deal of nostalgia for it.
I guess,
most of us grew up, most of us were kids in the 80s. I was a little kid in the 80s. You were a little kid in the 80s. Frank was like, you know, he was a billion years old in the 80s. So for him, it didn't mean anything.
Sons of bitches.
But for the rest of us, like, it was, you know, like, this is a nostalgic song.
This is, like way different than their earlier shit, man, for sure. Like, it was definitely a departure from earlier
stuff. I think, Frank, you wonder who I am.
You know what? Sometimes I do wonder who you are.
Secret. I've got a secret.
Uh-oh. I gotta hear this. What's your secret, man?
A thief or a mannequin. With parts made in Japan. I am the Modern Man. Because that is how he says it. He says Modern. And then I always thought that was weird, even as a kid.
All right, let's move on. Eric Sitchy, too.
No, I was still on mine.
All right, go ahead.
Frank. You hijacked it, Frank.
I did.
You
totally
complained about it.
Now, Break is the Modern Man.
All right.
So anyway, that was all right. I recommend it if you like that kind of game. The third game I played was a game that somebody recommended to me and said it sort of reminded them of Gauntlet. And I played it, and it didn't remind me of Gauntlet at all. But then it reminded me of a game that I wasn't expecting and that I absolutely love from the past. It's a multiplayer frenzy type game. This game's called Night Squad. It reminded me of Bomberman.
Bomberman's a great game, man.
It's felt like a combination of Bomberman and Gauntlet.
I need to clarify something. You said it's like a multiplayer frenzy type game. What do you mean frenzy? I don't know the term.
Well, there are different game types. Like, a frenzy, like, it's, you can play like eight people, everyone for themselves. Like, there's a dash trying to kill people, or there's games. Yeah, there's that, and there's so many different game types, which is one of the things I liked about this game. Like, you know, capture the flag, and there are game types where you work together, like 4v4 and such like that.
I never heard of this game. I'm surprised the media didn't really pick up on it.
What's the name of it?
It's a single screen game called Night Squad, and because it's just multiplayer frenzy of, you know, like eight players going at it. It reminded me of Saturn Bomberman. Honestly, that was the closest comparison I can think of.
Yeah, that's. Hey, if it's anything like Bomberman, I'm in, dude.
Okay, hang on. Actually, let me clarify. Is it Knight with an N or Knight with K-N?
K-N.
K-N, okay.
Yeah, this is set in a medieval fantasy world, and everybody has their sword, and you go in there and you're trying to stab each other. And like in this top-down screen, obviously.
Oh, okay.
But there are power-ups, like the speed power-up.
It came out like a year ago.
Okay, I just went to the website that says it's an 8-player top-down Bomberman meets Gauntlet game, which sounds fucking amazing.
Holy shit, they said this, that's how, that, what?
This sounds a lot better than that shitty fucking...
I swear to Christ, I did not read that.
No, I believe you. No, I just read that on their official website.
I know, and I'm saying I didn't read their website. I swear to Christ, I did not. Not that that matters any, but I'm just saying.
It's available now on Xbox One. It's like, well, that sounds like it will be fun, but I only have a PS4 and a shitty PC, so I guess I won't be playing it.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
I don't have online, so I can't play with Breakman.
Oh, that sucks. Mm. You can still play against bots, which I guess...
I do wish that we all had something where we could all play. Like, if we all had a PS3, it's like if we could all play, like, Bomberman Ultra online.
I have PS3. They're just broken and in a crate somewhere because they're fucking broken.
Either way, that equates to you not having a PS3.
I know.
One of my favorite games of all time is definitely Bomberman for the GameCube, man. That was a
I think it's Bomberman Ultra on the PS3.
I have
it's
not.
It's really, really good. Yeah. And
That's the thing. I was like, I think it would be fun, especially if we kind of did it as kind of like a community thing where all four of us could get on this game and play together. And, in, you know, like, this is an 8-player game. So it's all four of us.
I have the Bomberman on 360, but...
You know what would be fun if we could stream that?
I've never played online. Like, we could online do, only. There's no single-player campaign.
You know what would be really cool is if we could, like, stream that online for everybody to see my domination of you guys on Bomberman. That'd be awesome.
I don't think that's going to happen. And if you get a PS4, you need to get King of Fighters 14 because I will school your ass.
Oh, get out of here,
I guess I'm going to have to get a PS4 to be able to play with you guys.
Damn good.
This is something that I don't normally brag about, but I'm fucking really good.
I don't normally brag about this only every time it's mentioned.
Yeah, right. I've never bragged about this. As a matter of fact, I've done.
Last time this was mentioned, you were like, I'm so much better at this than anybody.
Listen for a second.
So badly into the pinball.
You guys don't listen.
You would hide for the rest of your lives.
Yeah,
it was like this WWE thing.
Jesus Christ. If you guys pay attention, like, I'm very down on my gaming prowess, but fighting games I'm pretty fucking good at. I'm not like wiling
pinball
and pinball
and Dragon Quest.
I'm pretty good at pinball.
What else does he brag about?
Dragon Quest.
Other games.
I don't brag about how good I am at Dragon Quest.
You were bragging about a game earlier in this show. What was that game he was bragging about, guys?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You suck. You suck. All right, Eric, what have you been playing, man? Real quickly. I'll be right back. Eric, what have you been playing?
Playing through more of Kindred Spirits on the Roof, and played a little bit of Make You Labyrinth of Death.
Cool. Nobody else played AM2R?
I played that like two weeks ago.
I thought it was taken down. I'm confused.
The thing was, it was taken down. It got a DMCA takedown notice, but it wasn't a
cease. People are running saying C&D.
Yeah, it's not a cease and desist. It was a, you know, take this down. And the guy actually put up a 1.1 update to fix a couple of bugs with it. You can still get it. If you need a copy of it, Break, I will be more than happy to send it to you.
I'm going to look for it right now.
Yeah, if you go to R, right? Just look for Metroid2Remake.blogspot.com. And look at the first post. It's like, you can download it here. And if the links don't work, let me know. I will get it to you. Metroid 2 remake, the numeral 2 remake .blogspot.com. It is really worth your time, especially it's a free game that is a $60 Nintendo, like 90s era Nintendo game.
I spelled remake wrong. That's the problem. The first problem was I put a 2 instead of the numeral 2.
Yeah, and it's like for my part, I actually haven't been playing any games this week. I've just been busy, but I've been sitting here like, you know, I have the updated version, and I'm really tempted to replay it. And I don't get tempted to replay games very often. I think the last time I was tempted to replay a game I'd just beaten was Zone of the Enders, the second runner, back in like 2002. AM2R is that good?
I would if I had time for that, but I don't.
Yeah, well, you the thing is, for you, playing games is not necessarily strictly recreation. I mean, it's, you do it like, and you actually do it as part of, like, you know, a job, you know, to an extent.
A job that I don't get paid for yet. I haven't set up my Patreon, but
you still have you still have like some sense of obligation to make sure you, it's like, I got this review code. I need to play this game so I can write a review. It's not something that you can just do for purely the enjoyment of it. But yeah, and
join our community.
Wyland just said Dark Side Frank is a former pro KOF player. and if you don't get it, that's Dark Side Phil. Look him up on YouTube and you'll laugh.
Page does not exist. Why can't I download this? What the hell, man? You're gonna have to send me a link.
Yeah, the hell?
Find a torrent somewhere.
Actually, hang on. I don't think I have your contact. And oh wait, there you are. Okay, all right. I'm gonna send it to you via Skype.
All right. What else have you played, Eric? Did you get through all your stuff? Or
yeah, that's all I've really been playing this week.
And then, Mug, I don't see that you've been playing much of anything.
No, so. That's what I was just saying. I really haven't played anything this week. I haven't
right. just had time. Let's move on time. To Stinkos. Eric, we'll start with you and just go on down the line, guys. I'll be right back.
Oh, boy. My Stinko is Konami having one job and fucking it up. In an effort to prove to gamers that they haven't forgot about them, they decided to reveal a new Metal Gear game called Metal Gear Survive. And it looks like a purely uninspired mess of a zombie survival game. And the trailer claims it's a co-op stealth game, but the trailer also is a heavily action-based affair. So yeah, it looks like a shitty Left 4 Dead or Dead Island Last of Us mishmash of garbage. The zombie designs looks awful. I mean, there's like they have like
that weird glowing
horns on the head and generic human looking bodies but like with barnacles on them.
See, here's the thing. My take on this is I am not intrinsically opposed to Metal Gear games existing without Kojima.
No.
They will not be as like they will be, I think, to be perfectly honest, I think they will inherently be lesser games, because what I always loved about Metal Gear Solid, or just Metal Gear in general, was a focus, like a very tightly focused single player campaign with enjoyable characters and a very engaging, if occasionally really fucking bizarre, storyline and like weird fourth wall breaks. Like,
well, that was kind of like, and it doesn't have a story, but
well, it has a story. It's just not told very well. It's
kind of like the original finished.
Yeah, it's like, kind of like the original prototype in that regard. It's like the original prototype has a really interesting story that's told very poorly, and the second one has a pretty weak story that's told much more cohesively. Mm-hmm. But. Like, I honestly, with Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain, I never bothered finishing it. I beat the Sahelanthropus boss, and I never bothered going back and, you know, completing the game beyond that point, because it's like I feel like I've seen basically everything that this game has to show me. And I know, like, later on, I know how it, like, what happens at the end, where like the big reveal of like what the deal is with Venom Snake and everything. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of interesting, but I honestly felt like playing through The Phantom Pain, like Sahelanthropus was so advanced that it really invalidated any sense of threat that Rex or Ray might have presented. It's like they both felt
party. I'm interesting free fuck chaos right now. Just,
yeah. I've heard good things about Sausage Party. I've heard that a lot of people have told me that it's an interesting critique on religion. And so it's like, okay, well, you've got my interest. I don't know that I can't really afford to go see it in the theater, but I'm
red boxing that shit.
Yeah, I'm interested enough to, like, I want to check it out. But yeah, it's like but back on the Metal Gear thing, it's like, okay, if you're gonna do a game with a Metal Gear game, it's like, okay, it's probably not going to be as deep or involved or whatever as Kojima's, you know, in hand in it would make it be. I mean, and that's like, and that's pretty much something that people have been anticipating since like 2004, when Metal Gear Solid 3 was going to be coming out. You know, it's like, it was like, okay, Metal Gear Solid 3 isn't turning out the way it should be, so Kojima stepped up and decided to just like, okay, I'm back hands on, I'm directing it, and that's the way it's going to be. But this just looks like we've got an engine, we've got assets, let's repurpose them and make a cash-in game. That's all this looks like.
Yeah,
and it's a multiplayer focused co-op game, and that is exactly the opposite of what I want in Metal Gear. I want a story, and I want to be surprised. There's nothing remotely surprising about this.
Also, wormholes.
Yeah, and it's just like, I mean, it's surprising that they went like, okay, we're doing wormholes and zombies. What? Well, that's something I wasn't expecting, but it's like, it's not a surprise in a good way. It's not like this. What the fuck does that mean? You know, it's not like this. Holy crap! There's a flaming ethereal whale leaping at me in a trailer. Kind of, you know, it's not Kojima. What the fuck? It's Konami businessman. What the fuck?
Yeah, for sure.
It's it's a very different kind of thing. Like, I like that sense of like when playing the original Metal Gear Solid, like, put the controller in port 2, that way he won't be able to read your thoughts. Like, wait, what? That's fucking insane. Okay, I'll try it. Holy shit, it works. That was awesome. Just weird. Like pulled me into the game while making it incredibly obvious you are playing a game, yet it pulls, you know, like making it obvious you are part of this. Like, that was genius.
Yeah.
And this just strikes me as like, this is Operation Raccoon City.
Yeah,
this is, they took some darts and threw them at boards to decide what the story was going to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Or took some LSD and said, let's do this.
And it's like, and what gets me about it, it's like, okay, technically it'll be a very competent game because the Fox Engine is, in my opinion, one of the best examples of how to balance visual fidelity with performance.
Yeah.
It's like, because you look at Metal Gear Solid 4, Metal Gear Solid 5, and you look at the cutscenes and stuff, like in Ground Zeroes and stuff. It's like everything's running at this really smooth 60 frames per second, and everything's it's just buttery smooth, and it looks good, but it's not like, you know, here's how, look at all this specular lighting and depth and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, it's so pretty in still shots that it looks like shit in motion. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's like, technically, I think it'll perform just fine, but it doesn't look at all like a game I would want to play.
Yeah.
Because it completely misses the point of everything that I've always liked about Metal Gear.
For sure. All right, let's move on. Eric, any other stinkos?
Oh, apparently wormholes was a mechanic in Metal Gear Solid 5. Yeah. Okay, so maybe it's not that far-fetched. It's just, it reminds me of Wormhole Extreme and how awful that was in Stargate. It's a parody of their adventures told as a fiction.
Hmm. All right, Eric, what else? Anything else on your stinkos, or are we good?
No.
All right. Let's go with Mug next.
And I wouldn't waste your time on Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it's awful. I think I did a review on it. Mug, your stinko, please.
Yeah, I would just like to voice the opinion of, I think, almost everybody in the United States at this point. Fuck election years.
Yeah.
Fuck the election cycle. Fuck the politicians. Fuck all the people talking about it. Fuck all the, you know, the pundits and everything. I'm so goddamn tired of it. I just want this year to be over.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's specifically just like, I don't like Jill Stein.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
I don't like her at all. She's an anti-science nutbag,
yeah.
And she's incredibly intellectually dishonest. But she got this guy I'd never heard of before, Ajemu Baraka, and this asshole actually said in like an open forum, apparently, that he called Obama an Uncle Tom.
That doesn't surprise me, though.
Like,
I mean, it's
you
not...
asshole.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not much far removed from the birthers. You know what I mean? Like,
no, it's not. But the thing is, it's like, I am not. I'm like, I will. You know, full disclosure. I voted for Barack Obama twice.
Yeah.
And so, I'm proud that I did.
Yeah.
I don't like every single thing he's ever done. I'm not happy about him backing the NDAA. I don't support the drone strikes. I think that the Trans-Pacific Partnership is a shit deal that's going to fuck a lot of people over. But on the whole, he's been one of the best presidents we've had in my lifetime.
He's part of my stinko for hypocrisy.
That is completely fair.
It's like, the thing is, I understand that, you know, it's with any president, you're never going to get. I'll touch on something. Henry Rollins said, wouldn't it be nice to have a political candidate that you felt about the same way you do about your favorite band?
But
Barack Obama is not, he's not that.
Here's how I feel about Barack Obama. I really thought he was going to be an agent of change, like he, you know, promised. But obviously, most politicians just lie through their fucking teeth. Barack Obama has
made things better for a lot of people. But the thing is, he's still prosecuting a war. He's still deporting more people than anyone who has ever done in the past, like,
the past like four presidential cycles.
Yeah.
Like, he's deported a lot of people.
Yeah, the thing I here's how I feel about Barack Obama. He's been a nothing president to me, like one way or another. Like I don't hate that.
Realistically though,
there are a lot of things I don't really like. See, there are things I never want to hear again. And even there have been some good things with Obamacare, as it's called, but there have been a lot of bad things too. Yeah. But I don't ever want to hear like people on the fucking floor saying, to find out what's in it, you have to vote for it.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing.
I don't ever want to hear that.
Like I said, I'm not happy with everything Obama has done, but on the whole, I think he has been very good for this country.
Mm.
He is, in every regard, a people's president. He's been. Let me finish this sentence. Yeah. Like, he has been the most approachable and most down-to-earth president we've had since I was a little kid.
I would agree with that. According to the press, he has held the most closed off presidency that they've ever experienced, even more than Bush or Clinton. Like, access has been completely limited for press.
Yeah. I mean, he's been very tight lipped, but he's also in this weird position where he's faced a completely obstructionist Congress.
Yeah,
I don't completely agree with that, because every other president has faced obstructionist Congresses, but they found ways to work with those.
Right. Like, you have these people that are absolute, like, no matter, I mean, we have GOP, like, high-level staffers who are saying, like, no matter what it was, if Obama was for it, we had to be against it, even if it was something we agreed with.
Yeah, so that's bullshit.
But then we had the Speaker of the House, who was Republican, who basically sided with the president for a lot of stuff. Well, I mean, there were a lot of things he fought him on, and the whole shutdown of Congress and stuff, which I think was personally good.
Yeah, Barack Obama has bent over.
I personally think when our government isn't working, the American people say, fuck you, and we put this country on our backs.
Yeah.
There are so many scandals that like make me go like with him. But the thing that's bothered me the most is he has spent so much time doing like television appearances and shit like that.
Yeah.
And worrying about stupid shit instead of being the leader.
At this point in his presidency, I think he has honestly reached the point where it's like, I'm out.
You know,
I don't think that's true. I honestly don't. Just looking at
because like the first, as soon as he became president, his first thing, like the first major thing he started going for was getting the Olympics in Chicago. Mm. That was his first major task, which failed, by the way. But that shouldn't have been what he was worrying about, because his wife was into it, and like he's from Chicago, even though he's from Hawaii, but he grew up in Chicago. But he's part of my stinko. When I get to my stinkos,
I can't speak to that because I don't recall that.
Yeah, Gripper. No,
another part of him is he is such a hypocrite.
Yeah, Gripper.
There are so many things he's bashed Bush for, and Congress, and then like when he was in Congress, and now he turns around and bashes them for. Like he tells. For one thing, like he tells the Republican Party, do your job. When he was in Congress, when it was the Supreme Court elect, he refused. And he said it was our duty to fight the Republicans or fight the other party, in his case, to not let them have their say. Yeah. And then
it's politics as usual.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. When it comes to that, if there is a sitting president and a vacant Supreme Court seat, the sitting president needs to appoint that Supreme Court seat, whether he's Republican, whether he's a Democrat, whether he's an independent. And
have a problem with all of that, but yeah,
I will take you at your word.
As the system is made, I think you're right.
Yeah,
But I mean, I will take you at your word and say that, like, okay, he was, you know, there was, you know, Bush was supposed to appoint someone, and Democratic Congress was refusing to, you know, to let him appoint anybody. That was wrong. Just that, like, you know, the, just was, like, he was just steadfast like the Republicans are wrong now to say, you're not, you know, we need to wait until after the election to.
Yeah, appoint that's him. Bullshit. Yeah.
And I agree bullshit. With you 100%, but I think.
Yeah.
I hate the policy
of Commander in Chief to appoint Supreme Court justices. Yeah,
that's I think the American people should with him vote for the Supreme Court justices are.
Gripper, this kind of relates to this. Gripper,
I think the American people should have that choice. I don't think the people elected should have that choice, but that's just my personal opinion.
And I don't think it should be lifetime appointments, by the way.
Also I agree. I don't think there should be such a thing as a lifetime appointment.
Right.
And I don't think, like, Republicans and Democrats can just keep getting reelected and reelected. Right, right. Like, they need fucking
term limits. Yeah. Gripper says
it is the need.
Guys, like, I've been trying to get
that. Something that they talked about.
Hang on, guys. One second, guys. Gripper says, "Are you not excited about your next president?" LOL. Yeah, that's well, pretty much.
Oh, yeah, about. you're fucking hilarious. Fucking. Oh, sorry.
Dungeon Buster says
we're getting more depressed by the moment because these two people are getting worse and worse.
Right. Dungeon Buster says, "I don't know about everyone else, but I'm voting for Cthulhu." Weiland says, "Smod for president." Let's see. Freak Five.
How about the guy? Guys, how about Vermin Supreme?
Yeah.
I'm voting for Flint.
Dungeon Buster says, not to this degree. This is the most obstructionist Congress I've probably ever seen. It is. It has been.
They were – I don't know. Like, they were so – the Republican Party was so obstructionist against Bill Clinton.
More so against Obama. Obama.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Obama
honestly plays a major role in it.
Obama's just bent over for Republicans time and time again. Like, he's.
I don't think that's really true.
Just
look at the record, man. I mean,
looking at the record, I don't really think that statement holds water.
I think it does, man.
I don't agree. Well, I agree. Well, I don't agree.
I think if you look at some of the things that he's, like, quote, compromised on, like, he's pretty much given Republicans a lot, which I find ironic that Republicans complain about Obama. Like, he's done everything in his power to make things work, and it just isn't working with Republicans for whatever reason.
See, I think personally, like, even, like, Clinton, Bush – and what made really Clinton so successful is how much he was able to work with Republicans, at least early on.
Yeah.
I don't think Obama tried that hard to work with him because, like I said, he was off – when he first came into office, like, he was more worried about getting the Olympics in Chicago. Obamacare came sometime later. I agree, but like I said before, I don't ever want to hear, like, politicians talking about, like, we're not going to tell you what's in it. You have to vote for it first.
Yeah. All right, real quickly, break. Let's get into your stinko this week, since it kind of
– Okay. My stinko, since we're kind of talking about it, it's what's going on with the flooding in Louisiana. It's a tragedy, a natural disaster, and what's going on is terrible, and I was talking about the hypocrisy of Obama before and how he – and well, I'll get into this in a moment, but he was talking about hypocrisy. I was talking about hypocrisy. He has lambasted Bush for years about Katrina.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now the worst national disaster happens on his the worst national disaster in his term happens while he's on vacation, similar to what happened to Bush, and – you know, he's not down there.
Well, I think I actually have something to say about that.
Go ahead. Things that we know now are there are, like, state governments and their rules and things, and they don't – a lot of times they don't actually want these people coming down there for photo ops and stuff like that, which is what I'm going to criticize Trump for. That's the only reason he's down there is for fucking photo ops. He's not down there to help people. So
it's like Paul Ryan.
So this is like a false narrative that, like I said, Obama is just – he's criticized Bush for years. On the anniversary of Katrina every year, like, he brings it up, and he's insinuated, like, that Bush didn't go down there for racist reasons and stuff like that. No, like, we found out the reason The reason Obama isn't there right now is because their local government and their rules between the federal and state that will not allow him to get down there. Plus, it would be about – it would take resources away.
Yeah, it would be a distraction from actually helping people to make it look like, oh, the president cares. I'm like, okay, the president can care better from his – from his office,
and he actually has done the same thing that Bush did, was which he directed the national resources to, like, here, go save these people. Like, this is the thing I can do. But Bush made a mistake of doing that stupid flyover thing.
Like, not just that, but I mean, there were real problems that that happened with Katrina, where like just administrative problems that that should have been dealt with when dealing with
the guys that he hired, like that he put in, which is another problem I feel with Obama, is he hired a lot of people who were inept.
Yeah,
I Bush did the same thing. They hired a lot of people that just did not do their jobs like they should have, and they failed not just him, they failed the American people.
Yeah. What else, Brakeman?
The hypocrisy of it all, but we know now, and if you don't understand, like, him going there is a bad idea. That's bad for the American people. I shouldn't say it's bad for the American people.
It's an empty gesture.
Yes.
It looks good. It's like, oh, the president cares enough to stop what he's doing, to drop his vacation and go and be with these people.
Now, if he did that and then he was helping people, like, he got in a boat and he was rescuing people, like, I've seen videos of people rescuing, diving into the water,
that's a lot of vehicles. That's more photo op than anything else. He can still do more good by being in Washington and performing as the executive branch of government and making sure that it's like, why isn't this here's what needs to happen. Make it fucking happen.
And I admit earlier in the week when this happened, like, I was railing on him for not being there. But then I did some investigation. I did some research and I realized I was wrong. Like, it's the best idea for him not to be. The best thing is not for him not to be there. Legally, he isn't supposed to be there because it's up to the state to say, like, you need to come in here and do this. It's up to the state government to say this first.
Yeah,
which I didn't realize all that stuff, but yeah, that does make sense. Like, the states do have a lot of power as far as like federal interference. If that wasn't so, Frank wouldn't have his weed.
Yeah, that's true. I would still have my reed regardless.
You would have your reed.
Yeah, my reed. My reed for my clarinet. I would still have my reed.
He would have his Reed Richards.
Yeah, exactly. Reed Richards. Yeah, exactly. All right.
Part goes to a few days ago. There were some American gold medalist swimmers who were leaving to come back to America as they're in Brazil. Before they left, Ryan Lochte decided to spin a tale of being robbed and accosted at gunpoint, forced out of his car, and
which is partially true. Let's be honest here.
A little bit of it is partially true, but he was spinning that he was robbed. Now, and he said that on Twitter, and then he went and said it on ESPN, and then we started seeing video coming out. First, the government said, "Wait, well, hold on. That we don't think that's what happened." Brazilian government, and the video was released, and we see that Ryan Lochte and his drunken hooligan friends were breaking property of a gas station owner, causing trouble there, and being hooligans and thugs, basically.
Yeah, they were vandalizing shit. No question.
Yes, they tried to leave and everything, and the security came out with guns and stopped them and forced them to, leave. And at which point, Ryan Lochte apparently paid them $50 to try and make this go away, which is okay. Celebrities do that kind of thing all the time. There are a lot of things that don't get reported because money makes things go away, which would have been fine had he not come out the next day and told this story. Apparently, he told his mother first, and his mother told the news. And then he just reinforced what he said to her. And now that we know the truth, he is currently still claiming that, no, he was robbed.
Well, technically he was robbed.
He has turned – like, at first he kind of embarrassed the country of Brazil. Now he is making the country of America look stupid, and we would like to say that Brazil, please take him and lock him up. Do whatever you want to do to him. We don't fucking care. We don't want him back.
Yeah, Lochte has always been one of these like privileged white kids. I've always thought,
and his weird haircut, weird hair color, and he can get the hell out of here.
You know what's funny?
He made false police reports because he reported this police and then he reported it to the Olympic Committee. And he has doubled down and he has tripled down on this story, even though we have seen the video at this point.
Yeah. See, here's the thing that struck me as odd to begin with, Breakman. I was talking before we got on air. What struck me odd is he said somebody pointed a gun at him and he said, whatever. Now, if somebody points a gun at me, my first reaction is not going to be whatever. I'm doing whatever the fuck that gunman says, right? So that right away sent a signal to my brain saying, no, this guy's not telling the truth. So you're right. Everything you said is right about Lochte. He did get robbed for a little bit of money, actually.
At gunpoint were demanding money because I understand, like, he was destroying their property. He's in a foreign country. Like, you should be in your fucking best behavior.
Absolutely, man. You don't know the rules there. You don't know the laws. Like,
in Brazil, they're a country, what I found out recently is that they're known for, like, being held up and having problems like that. So citizens arming themselves would make sense, you know, and having security forces, that would make sense.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster
says
that.
Don't be a fucking idiot, but then once, like, you're caught and we know you're lying, stop fucking lying. Don't double and triple down on this shit.
Yeah, for sure, man.
You and your fucking crony teammates, I don't even think you guys won gold this year, did you?
Yeah, they did because the strength of...
They should turn them back in. Like, they should be taken away.
Because
you lie, and I'll say that because not because of this, but because they lied to the Olympic Committee about this. He told this story to the Olympic Committee as well.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
For
man.
That, you should have your medals taken away.
Look, here's the thing. Like Lochte is the second greatest swimming Olympian the United States has ever seen.
I guess he can't handle second best, so he wants to fabricate shit.
I agree. He's a big-time liar.
Damn, dude.
This guy is like he's always been kind of a trouble child. He's like he reminds me of like Hollywood like angsty like kind of like Kardashian, like, you know what I mean? Like
Dungeon Buster sums it up. He's a damn guest in their country. He should act like it.
Yeah.
15 times in the last minute.
Yeah, it's just he's just a damn liar. I can't stand the guy. He's always been on my list of people
he's an embarrassment. He made us you insulted a country, and then between him and our presidential candidates, the rest of the world must think that every American is just a fucking liar. Yeah. That we don't know what the truth is.
You know, Gripper was making fun about the presidential race earlier, and he's got every right to because it's a joke. And then people like Lochte, I mean, come on, man.
In the past, I preferred like other countries and like not stay out of it. But these two people are fucking an embarrassment to humanity. Like,
you know,
every country wants to make fun of them. Go ahead.
By the way, England's presidential or prime minister's situation is not much different than ours. They've got some problems over there with that Brexit shit going on. So, you know, there's still...
I don't know. I saw some good numbers on Brexit, actually, recently. Like, there have been bad and good numbers. But one of the things, like, that they said was going to happen immediately was there were going to be a lot of firing. And instead, there's actually been hiring.
All right, guys.
Which is completely unexpected by everybody who everybody actually.
Yeah. All right, guys, we got to move on real quickly through our sweetos so we can. I mean, it's the end of the show for sure. Let's real quickly go on down the line. Moria, go ahead with your sweeto.
Okay, mine's very basic but very widespread. And here's one of the things where, like, you know, you can dislike Obama for whatever reason. You can call him a hypocrite. You can say anything. But
he just
declared the end that federal prisons were no longer going to be dealing with private for-profit prisons.
That's fucking major.
Okay, I gotta admit, I had no idea these things existed.
Yeah, they do, dude, and it's awful.
I had no idea about any of this.
There was a study that was done showing that
private prisons are demonstrably worse for the economy, for the prisoners, for everybody involved. And they were just like, okay, we're phasing this out. And what I love is, as a result of that, is this public announcement was made. Private prison stocks dropped by more than half. I love it. Because yeah. Private prisons are one of the most, like, just this really egregious example of everything that's wrong in America.
Yeah.
I only got to read a little bit about it because, like I said, I did not know this existed.
Well, there's federally owned prisons for even
Well, I
kids.
Thought that's what they all were. I had no idea they were independently owned prisons.
I mean, a lot of,
I had
a
no
lot
idea.
Of them. Private, yeah. Private, for-profit.
Yep.
And yeah, see, we don't have that around here, so I had no idea.
Yeah. And it's not just that. It's like human rights abuses happening.
Absolutely. From what I was reading, like it sounds like a torture.
Pretty goddamn close. The fact this happened, that Obama said, you know what, executive order, we're not doing this anymore. This will help cement his legacy as, like, you know, on balance, I will always have problems with some of his policies, but this is something I can always point to and say, like, he did a good thing for the American people.
That is a good thing, no question about it. I mean, for-profit prisons suck. Like, you get corrupt judges that always convict people, you know, for bigger sentences and shit like that because of money, and it sucks. Privatized prisons are awful. You know,
I don't know how I didn't know about Dungeon Buster saying privatized prisons, they've been around for years. They've really started to blow up in the last several years.
Yeah,
outsourcing. It's like prison outsourcing, but there's only one prison around here. It's a federal
prison. That's a major reason why the drug war is around, is these privatized.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. These private prisons and their associated lobbies are constantly fighting for – because they're for profit, they subsist – rather, they survive because of – high occupancy rates.
Yep.
So they lobby for heavier penalties for nonviolent drug offenses because it inflates their numbers.
Yeah.
And like by making private prisons less profitable, it makes it more likely that this industry will die off.
Yeah.
And that combined with I know that Frank knows because he keeps up with this stuff. Like the DEA ruling where they're still keeping marijuana as a Schedule I drug, but they've opened it up to research. And research alone is not a small step because the more information we have, the more evidence we have that's that marijuana is not harmful, that it has medical uses.
Absolutely.
It makes it harder and harder to justify keeping it as a Schedule I fucking drug.
Yep, absolutely, man. Totally agree. Totally agree, man. I mean, we could do a whole show on that for sure.
Yeah, we absolutely could.
All right. Matter of fact, let's mark that down for next week. We'll talk a little bit about that.
We'll put that on the notes.
Yep. All right. Break your sweeto quickly, please.
My sweeto goes to – you remember earlier in the year I complained about how bad the Reds were because they're in a rebuilding year and such like that.
Yeah.
Since the All-Star break in early July, the Reds have been one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah,
but it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs.
It sucks. They don't have a chance of making the playoffs. But
it's like the Rockies,
it's
man.
Still fun to watch.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like the Rockies have been fun to watch this year, especially with Trevor Story, even though he's out for the rest of the year. It's been fun to watch the Rockies. They don't have a shot, but. You know, they've been kind of fun to watch.
So. Well, hopefully both of our teams can spoil some other teams.
That would be cool.
I always love that, personally. Yeah.
All right, mine real quickly, the Angry Birds movie. I'm going to say this, and you guys are going to probably snicker a little bit, but it's the best, video game adaptation movie I've ever seen, and that ain't much. I'm giving it a 6.
That's hard for me.
I'm giving it a 6 out of 10. I was going to do a review, but yeah, it's got some good funny jokes in it. It's not much of a story, but it's better than anything that's been out there for video game movies. So I definitely recommend watching Angry Birds. Plus, it's real pretty to watch in HD. So
Speaking of pretty CG, did you guys watch that new Bastion video, the Overwatch thing, the thing about the character Bastion the robot?
Mm-mm. I have not.
I'd seen articles about it here and there, but my friend over in Japan, he said, you know,
like, okay, dude, you need to watch this. Like, okay, it's like 7.5 minutes. So I sat down and watched it, and I was like, it's really nice. It's kind of rote. It's like, okay, we're going to humanize a non-human character. So we do that by kind of like having him show this connection with this bird. Like, just like a songbird. And it kind of has these echoes of the Iron Giant. It's like, it's very Disney, very Pixar kind of thing. But, and I told it, like, the thing, my response to him in saying it, I was like, it's eerie how good, or rather how commonplace really good CG has become.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, if you watch, I don't have any investment in Overwatch. I don't, that's like these characters, like, okay, they're neat character designs. That's the extent of it. I've never played the game. I probably never will because I don't like multiplayer shooters. But in looking at the promotional materials for it and everything they've done, it's like Blizzard has really knocked out of the park on making these likable characters. Like, if you have any interest in just in watching good CG stuff, just like saying, oh, this is cool animation, watch this, and I think you will be very impressed.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to do it. Mug, can you hold your review until next week, or do you want to do a real quick review?
I will do a real – I can do a really quick review of the book. Okay. I've been listening to on Audible the it's like The Secret History of Marvel, which essentially covers the history of Marvel from its inception up to around 2010.
God,
like,
damn.
Shortly after the introduction of – basically, like, after the Marvel Cinematic Universe came into being, like the planning and, like, you know, it wasn't, like, right after, like, the Avengers was released, just like, but everything building up to that point. Talking about the history of behind the scenes, the stuff that, like, my history as a comic book reader pretty much left from, like, 1983 until 1992. Like, that was when I was big into it. And it was like my realization that Chris Claremont was essentially the reason I ever loved X-Men. But like learning about Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and all these things, like, and I'd seen people talk about this kind of thing, about how Stan Lee had really screwed over Jack Kirby over the decades. And I was like, oh, now I think I have a little bit more understanding of it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that shady stuff.
Why, like, and everybody hates Rob Liefeld because his art style is shit. But understanding why Rob Liefeld was one of the reasons that the comic industry kind of collapsed in on itself. Like, if you like comics, or if you ever spent any significant portion of your life loving comics, this is a book that you need to read. You will enjoy the hell out of it. I got it because Audible had, like, I had suspended my Audible account, but I didn't realize that it was only for 3 months. So suddenly I found myself like, oh, for the past 2 months they've been charging me and I've got 2 credits. Well, what can I get that's the most out of my, like, the most from my money that I've spent on this? And it's like in the audiobook version of this was like 33 hours long. It's like, okay, well, it's a subject I enjoy, so it's worth listening to, and I'll check this out. And it was absolutely fascinating as someone who loved comics. If you have a geek bone in your body, if you've ever loved Marvel, read this book. It's the Secret History of Marvel, and I think the author's name is Sean Howe, like H-O-W-E. And read this book. You will be absolutely riveted.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. I know, of course, of the history of Marvel because I
just realizing, like, oh, wow, Stan Lee is kind of an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's softened.
Like, yeah, I've heard he was really, like, I've read that really tidbits that he was really bad.
They recounted Frank Miller's eulogy for Jack Kirby when he died, talking about how, like, you know, an art form is not given to a genius of Jack Kirby's character more than once in its history. Like, the king is dead. And there will never be another one like him. And I'm just sitting like, I don't even have I didn't even have an investment in Jack Kirby's work prior to reading this. And I'm sitting here, I'm in tears. Like, holy crap, this is heavy duty shit. Read this book.
Yeah, Gripper mentioned Steve Ditko. It's a good book for sure, man. A lot of good information in that book. And you're right, Stan Lee, for a long time, he's softened, obviously, over the years. And, you know, there's no question that Stan Lee
is... like, he's pulling an $800,000 a year salary off of Marvel. For doing essentially nothing.
Yeah.
For being a mouthpiece.
Right. All right. Let's move on to our plugs real quickly. My plugs are as follows. RP Grinders, at RP Grinders on Twitter, which Breakman runs. And does a really good job with, by the way. And let's see, what else? Hopefully we'll have a new Wherewithal soon for everybody to listen to, Wifix and I. That's in the works. We got lots to talk about. What about you, Mug? What do you got?
You can find me on basically everything. It's Moria Mug, M-O-R-I-Y-A-M-U-G. Hit me up on Steam, on PSN, on Xbox Live. And it's pretty much the same name everywhere. I don't do a lot of multiplayer stuff, but there's a few multiplayer games I have. So if you're doing stuff like Bomberman or something like that, you know, hit me up and I'd be glad to talk to you. And
kick the shit out of you in pinball if you had it.
Yeah, I don't play them.
Frank, we're just going to have to invest in sealing some PlayStation.
Okay. Actually, when the pinball things, if they get the Williams Black Knight 2000, I will be all over that shit.
Get out. There's some great tables on there. Like that Moon Knight one is
that
awesome.
That may be true, but I have a great amount of nostalgic appreciation for Black Knight 2000.
Black Knight 2000 is awesome. I love the question, man.
It is an amazing game.
It is. It's a great game. Eric, what about your plugs, sir?
You can find my reviews on sites like totallygn.com, BosterBastardBrigade.com. I have a review of Blaze Blue, Chrono Phantasma Extend Up for the Steam release. And on totallygn.com, I've got a review up of Maldita Castilla EX for the Xbox One.
Isn't Spanish for the evil house or something that?
Yeah, it's Cursed Castle.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, they actually threw the subtitle on there, which is kind of redundant. They might as well have just directly translated it, but whatever.
No.
All right. What else, Eric?
You can also find other reviews at GameTactics.com, HonestGamers.com, VogNetwork.com. And I made a video drink review of Crystal Pepsi on my YouTube channel, Funny YouTube. What?
No, I just for some reason something about I review Crystal Pepsi because apparently people either love it or they absolutely fucking hate it, and I just suspect a review of it will be very funny.
Yeah, that is weird. I loved it when it was out, but more people hated it and it didn't last long.
They don't have
you know
diet.
What I miss?
They don't Surge. Have a diet version of
Surge?
It.
That's also, awesome. Also, you can find me on. I think they brought back Search briefly on, but I don't know if they still have that. But you can also find me on Twitter at EricRPG.
All right. Breakman, your plug,
at
please.
RP Grinders and at Break _ Man and something. But that's it. It's going.
Check out our Twitter account as well for Wherewithal called at Share the Wear. It's pretty awesome.
Check out GDP later tonight.
Yeah, right. That's not happening.
That's ever going to happen again.
maybe. I've been thinking about resurrecting it every here, now and again. But I just need the right timing and just some other shit needs to happen. But
booze.
Yeah. Well, maybe some weed. That would help. All right. Anything else?
You don't have 2 tons of you
are gonna say aren't fully loaded
in the backyard.
I do have quite a bit of weed in my closet, but whatever. All right. Anything else, guys? Nothing? Okay. Everybody in chat, thank you. Dungeon Buster, Freak 5 Chaos, Gripper, and Wylan, thank you guys so much for joining as always. And MXT was in there. He always leaves abruptly. I don't think we scare him too much. Stay safe this weekend, guys. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, guys.
Thanks, guys.